Welcome to Good Dogs. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host Carol Borden, a veteran trainer who founded and runs Guardian Angels Medical Service Dogs. The companion dogs she raises prove every day what we believe. All dogs can be good dogs. We believe dog training starts with people training. We're here to help you understand and communicate better with your own dog and bring out the good in him or her. Carol, once before we had a conversation about what seems to have gone wrong with President and Jill Biden's dog, Major, at the White House. And since that time, I wrote a blog about it. And since that time, the dog was not, in my opinion, I'm curious to know your opinion, was not managed, handled, or understood properly. So they brought him quickly back to the White House, where he had escalated a worse incident in from what one can tell from the news. So I'd like your thoughts on a situation where you have a three-year-old, apparently purebred from the looks of him, beautifully bred German Shepherd dog, who 2 years ago, not 2 weeks ago, not 2 hours ago, was adopted from the Delaware shelter by the Bidens and brought home to live with their 12-year-old German Shepherd dog, who they bought as a puppy many years before. And surely he had some kind of training, and the Bidens were both away during the campaigning and then home a lot during the campaigning. And then the dog moves into the White House and barks and lunges at a number of people, apparently. And then they call it nip, but he put his mouth open with his teeth on some part of a Secret Service agent's body and was immediately moved back to the home, the president's own personal home in Delaware, where without the Bidens and not in the White House, he was presumably retrained or trained and then immediately brought back to the White House, immediately like a week, and while walked on a leash outdoors on the White House lawn, bit. Again, they called it nipped, but when dogs open their mouth with their teeth and bite down, less pressure is better. But he did that to a Park Service person working in the garden. When you read all that, what were some thoughts that you had about the situation?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts. First of all, Tracy, I was really shocked to find out that he was back at the White House so quickly.
Yes.
Because to really make sure you have done the training, and in this case, it's not about heal and sit. It's about desensitization and socialization.
Yes.
And that takes some time. And not only does it take time to make sure it's going well, but you have to raise those levels of desensitization and socialization gradually.
Yes.
And in different locations until it is what we call proofed, and that they are steady and able to handle whatever external stimuli are going on, that they handle it appropriately. And until then, they should not be returned to the same situation that provoked an issue to start with. You know, it's my limited knowledge on this, but I had never heard of this dog causing any problem. Apparently, he came from the shelter into their home environment, made all the appropriate adjustments, and did very well.
Yes.
And unless there's just something I don't know about. It wasn't until they actually took him out of that environment, which for him was obviously a secure, comfortable place. He had his routine. And they totally shook up his world. And so not only did the first incident take place, but now a second incident, which, let me say, this is not the dog's fault. This is not a predisposition
right.
of the breed.
Right.
I personally have 350 German Shepherds working as service dogs in public across the entire United States. And we have never had a dog bite, and we are in our 11th year. So it's not the breed. It is the environment. It is the people that don't read the signals coming from the dog. You know, is he feeling stressed? Was he starting to pant more? Was his head on a swivel looking at everything? These are things that people forget to pay attention to. And when you stop paying attention, you are no longer receiving communication from the dog. And for an awful lot of people, they're just not trained to read that communication.
Okay, that's very well put. But let's also add that Major gave much more information than that prior to the first bite. We'll just call it a bite, nip, it doesn't matter. That he attacked. It doesn't matter which verb we use, that he did this behavior that was supposedly never had happened before and is not something that German shepherds do. In the Nazis in Hitler's Germany and the American police back when there were race riots, unfortunately somewhat a little bit today too, but not so often, used dogs as attackers of people. But that is not in their nature. They're a herding breed. They're a protective breed. That is not their go-to behavior. Okay. It has to be trained into them, not out of them. So I just want to remind you and everybody else that as it was reported, Major, before the first so-called incident, had many minor incidents. He was letting them know, I'm barking, I'm lunging, I'm showing I don't want these people around me. I don't want to be in whatever this physical space is. I'm trying to keep them away. Whether he felt threatened or felt threatened on behalf of the president, what the point is that everyone ignored it. So the things you're talking about, the subtle body language, all the behavior of stress in a dog, that's why you never, ever tell a dog not to growl. You always let a dog growl because the dog is telling you, it's a warning. I'm telling you, I'm uncomfortable. Keep that child away from my bone. Keep that other dog away from my dish. And we have to deal with that. We either respect it and give them a safe space, or we teach them, as you said, over a period of time that these things are not a threat. We show them to them little by little in increasing amounts that they can tolerate. And when they start to get that reaction again, whatever it is to the thing that is aversive to them, we back off. We don't send them back into the war zone when they're not doing well in it. To him, that's a war zone. So who are the people that call themselves dog trainers that said, okay, sure, for $80 an hour, or even free, because I'll get a lot of press for this, I'll take your dog back to Delaware to the quiet, comfortable, safe haven that this dog had known his whole life with this family. And I'm going to teach him what? I'm not going to have a whole bunch of Secret Service agents and 44 assistants holding clipboards running around. I'm going to take him to the environment which never provoked a problem, as you said. And that's going to teach the dog absolutely nothing except for, oh, thank God, I'm back where I'm comfortable. Now I'm going to throw you back in the deep end, which is go back to the White House. I mean, what kind of thinking or idiocy or ignorance? And I'm just going to abuse those words because I think they've set this dog up for failure. And I'm mad at them.
Well, and you took the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. They are not setting this dog up for success. And this is not the dog's fault. This is a breakdown on the human's part for not recognizing the scenario that is triggering the behavior and working it into baby steps to where you can desensitize it and make him steady. And, you know, if he has a disposition such that he's never going to be steady with it, then that's a whole different issue. But I don't believe enough effort has even been put into going through the paces and the time involved to be sure that he is properly desensitized. There's so many positive things that could be done to change this dog's framework of thinking. And I don't hear about any of those details. All I hear is that he nipped someone again or he bit someone again. And, you know, how come the guy out there wasn't armed with a ball in his hands to throw the ball to the dog to turn it into a positive experience or have some liver treats, you know, to turn it into a positive experience so the dog would go, oh, he's not a bad guy. You know, so
right, and this dog was. We aren't hearing about what your basic 101 of a decent dog trainer would do, which is turn the clock back, just like in those old-fashioned movies where the calendar pages flip forward or backward. We flip the calendar pages back to a situation. Let's call it in the White House, a physical situation. Maybe it's in the residential rooms where the dog seems okay, and we let one housekeeper walk in. And we either have the dog on such a perfect down stay that he doesn't budge or he's on a leash. And if that dog isn't comfortable with the housekeeper walking in that room, yes, we have liver treats and we teach the dog when we see from body language that the dog's uncomfortable with this person, known or unknown, it's irrelevant. Coming into the room, we get the dog's attention on us with the excellent liver treat. We get him to pay attention to us and we thank him for not having a reaction towards that other person. that's like really baby steps. That's not taking them down to the main floor and being loose. What disturbed me was how disrespectful they were of the level of this dog's discomfort, that they brought him back and then took him outside on a leash, a totally different situation than being loose. I was assuming it was loose in the White House in the rooms, which they always refer to the West Wing as cramped and crowded. And when we all saw the show, The West Wing, it was cramped and crowded. So here he is outside on a lawn and he's on a leash. So he goes towards, I doubt the Park Service person came over and wanted to pat him. Maybe she or he did. I don't know. But this would not seem to be a similar triggering situation. The dog is already so amped about being in discomfort and being stressed that everything, it's like when you have allergies, and first you have allergies to pollen. Eventually you have allergies to anything airborne. You're just, everything is a trigger. So let's talk about, you. We're going to talk, you know, in some of our shows in Good Dogs about the extraordinary breeding and training you do of your medical service dogs. But once in a while, you'll take a dog from a shelter. Or you work sometimes with a with someone's pre-existing dog. When you start working with a dog, and that dog seems to have a problem with someone coming towards them in a wheelchair or on crutches or even with a hat and a pipe, what do you do to see if you can desensitize that dog and get them comfortable in their own space?
Well, the very first thing I do when we are presenting a new scenario to a dog, I'm reading the dog. I couldn't care less, you know, about the person coming over in the wheelchair. I'm reading the dog's response and reaction. And the moment I see a change in muscle tone, tail set, ear stance, panting, all the things that tell you what a dog is thinking, I'll immediately stop that person. We do not want to add any more pressure until he is desensitized and comfortable. We turn it into a very positive situation. If the dog is ball driven, we'll give the person in the wheelchair a ball to toss for him or some litter treats for him to walk up and take from the individual. Maybe we just walk him around in circles in his own comfort zone. We don't force him to be close to the wheelchair until he chooses to. So everything is a baby step with what we do based on what the dog is telling us. Other dogs, they might go right over and step right up on the wheelchair and never give it a second thought. But you have to treat each of them as an individual and read what's going on in their mind, just not have a human expectation with no foundation.
That's very well described. And none of this, in my view, although the Bidens are lifelong dog owners, if you've had one dog who was Mr. Perfect, we've all had that dog, not necessarily a heart dog, not the dog you loved beyond and above all dogs, but a dog who never did anything wrong, never, always crossed their T's and dotted their I's, practically on their own. And then you bring in another dog of a different temperament, nothing wrong with the dog. The dog is just wired differently. You, as a pleasant but not wildly trained dog owner, just think, well, that other dog will settle down and be just like my older one. And maybe in the home environment, Major was just like Champ. We all love having that older dog as the ambassador who teaches the newcomer, this is when we eat, this is where we eat, this is how we eat, this is where we eliminate, here's where the dog door is, here's what we do when the doorbell rings. And that older dog, if they have great habits, teach them all to the new dog. And if they have bad habits, wow, that's really a problem because now, you know, it's a legacy of bad habits that the owner hasn't dealt with. President Biden's job is not to be a dog trainer. It's to be a dog owner and appreciate the pleasure of it. But he needs to surround himself with better advisors, just like the advisors that he has for political things. He's hoping to choose the very best people because he can't know every single thing about all the things he has to deal with and make decisions about. So when people read someone like Cesar Millan, who is able to get on Fox News, apparently, and make his comments, and he says that all dogs in shelters are there because they had issues. Boy, do I take issue with that. Let me just say, no, they don't. The people had issues, and they didn't have the time, the patience, or the energy or desire to either fix the issue they, the human, set in motion, or just deal with normal dog behavior. This dog was 9 months old when he was adopted. So maybe the usual large dog at 6 months goes through puberty, gets more rambunctious, is more powerful, mm-hmm. is more energetic. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, ah, that's not the cute puppy I started out with. So can you just speak for a moment to the issue of whether dogs in shelters have issues, and what the heck do we mean by issues anyway?
Listen, dogs wind up in shelters for a lot of reasons. Some of them are behavioral. Some of them are genetically predisposed to either being frightened easily,
yes.
or having health problems. Some of them are there because they were lost. Some of them are there because their families got divorced and couldn't keep them, or financial breakdown.
Yep.
There's a lot of reasons that dogs end up in shelters. What's unfortunate is that about 30% of the dogs are returned within the first 2 weeks of having been adopted.
Wow.
So, I take that back to the humans. If you were going to adopt a child, not an infant, but
right.
maybe
school
maybe
age,
10-year-old,
yeah.
9-year-old, you know, something comparable. You know, if you adopt a child, do you really think that child is going to come to you perfectly behaved, perfect manners, perfect everything, perfect grades in school? Of course not. If you're going to take on an obligation like that, you need to be fully prepared to get the counseling that you need, any kind of training that you need to deal with different behavioral issues that that child
That's
might
right.
come with.
That's right.
A dog is no different. The difference is a dog can't really tell you if you're not reading his body language until he's already acted out inappropriately.
Right.
And what is inappropriate? Is inappropriate in a dog's world, or is it inappropriate in man's world?
Well,
and there's
said.
A huge division there. It's part mm-hmm. of what I teach in my college curriculum, that we have dragged dogs through the evolution of civilization for centuries. And we think so many things are bad that they do, but they're actually very natural things. So we have to read what's going on with this dog when we adopt them and bring them to our home. And instead of going, oh, no, this dog's, he's
right.
tearing up my slippers and he's peeing on my floor. No, he's going back to the shelter.
Right.
Well, what did you think?
Right. Or barking at the door. Or, gee, he wants to
right.
run a lot. He has all this extra energy. That's another reason that large breed dogs are relinquished. Oh, he's too much trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That dog's hyper. No, mm-hmm. he's just a healthy, normal dog. Carol, we've run out of time,
probably
but I just want to
–
it's really important that people, learn from this. It's a good teachable moment for all of us. We wish Major well. I don't think he's real comfortable in the White House, and if anybody knew what they were doing, maybe they could get him comfortable. But for the most part, I just want us to all understand it's not because he was a shelter dog. It's not because he's a German Shepherd. He just got put in a situation that didn't feel right to him, and no one's helping him in the right way. Thank you so much, Carol Borden.
You're correct. Thank you, Tracy.